Well, then, folks, for those of you who may be just joining us, welcome to the Healing with the Arts Telesummit, How Art and Medicine is Changing Healthcare and Lives Today. And in this segment, Mary and I are here with Vijali Hamilton. And the title of Vijali's presentation this evening is Healing Person by Person for Global Peace. And one of the things that Vijali firmly believes is that deeply listening to each person, each community activates their own natural healing and confidence, and that's what she's going to be talking about tonight. Now, Vijali has dedicated her life as a peacemaker. Mary is starting to tell us a little bit about that, and I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more. She collaborates with diversified communities and utilizes her skills as a sculptor, filmmaker, poet, musician, and author to heal individual trauma and community disharmony. Now, Vijali also started her World Wheel Project in 1986, circling the planet as she works with the arts in her quest for the individual's inner peace that leads to world peace. Welcome to Healing with the Arts, Vijali.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So let me begin, if I may, by asking you just a couple of questions. Would that be okay?
Yes, that would be fine.
I've heard a little bit about World Wheel. I just mentioned that. Could you tell us more about that, please?
All right. Well, this came from a dream. I was up in the mountains in a self-imposed retreat for some years. And before I went, I had worked for 10 years in the California area with my environmental sculpture, carving stone, and involving community in a final ceremony piece. But in my dream, I saw myself going around the world in a circle, and that the circle would represent the wholeness, that we were all connected on this planet, and we're part of one world family. And in this dream, I saw myself going to these countries and working in the same way I had been in California, but connecting people from one community to the other in this idea that they're supported by this circle of communities, that they are not alone. And so when I did go, I left my retreat and I started in Malibu, close to where I had been staying in the mountains. I involved the people in the LA area because I felt I needed to first address the people in my own environment before I go to other countries. And so that's just a very brief way to describe the world wheel. Shall I go on, or do you have a...
Oh, question? Go on, please. Yes, by all means.
And also, I felt it was important to listen, deeply listen to each person that I met, as well as the community voice, and not impose myself as an American, you know, with some idea of what they needed or what was best, but to really, really listen with the ears of that particular culture. And how I went about it is I asked three questions, even just on the plane or boat or however I was traveling to the country. I would ask these questions, and sometimes I would carry a notebook and have someone translate these questions into their language, and often that's the way we communicated. And the questions are, the first one is, who are you in the deepest sense? What is your essence? And the second question is, what is your personal problem that is holding you from really fully living that essence. And the third question is, what do you feel can heal? Can heal you, can heal that break from your essence. So in a sense, the three questions draw you back into the first of living that essence. And so I asked everyone. It was a way of very quickly getting into the heart of a person's life. And I would ask children, too, and I'd have them draw in my notebook that I would carry. And so it was really, the journey was really based on this deep listening, and still is. I'm still I've gone to 12 countries in the first circle around the globe, and now I'm on the second, and I've gone to 20 countries. Just listening to people, and then in their response, we write poetry, we dance, we use all of the arts, and I will carve a stone sculpture in their area once I've been given permission, once some community really wants to go into these questions and work with me. I will carve a sculpture that is really the voice of the earth of that area. And then we'll develop a theater ceremonial piece together. And that would be the real collaboration, because everyone can come in some aspect. And in that performance, we bring all of these elements of the poetry, the people's ideas, and it really ends up being a ceremony, the voice of the people of that community, so that they can define what it is, their problems, and some of it are the ecological problems, some of it are social and deeply deep spiritual problems of that area and globally. And I always have people, you know, start with their own individual feelings and then ask, how is this affecting your relationship? How is this affecting your community? How is it affecting the planet? So that people realize that they really are part of a planetary community, that they are not alone. So that's really the kind of the basic way I work. Are there any other questions, David?
I'm thinking of lots of questions, but that's just amazing. Wow, Vijay. What prompted you to start the World Wheel?
Well, these questions were questions that I asked myself my whole life. And I, just out of the sadness of what is going on the planet, on our earth, the disconnection between people's lives and the earth, I feel that separation of the material and spiritual, the individual lives and the earth, is the basic problem of what is going on our planet right now. And so just the sadness of seeing this and experiencing it, I felt I wanted to do something as an artist, and I didn't know what to do. Many years I had this feeling of wanting to do something. I remember going to India the very first time I went, and I had, you know, seeing all the poverty, and for the first time, this type of poverty, I started giving coins to people. And then I was in a courtyard, and the head of the temple there came out and said, "You can't do that. It's very dangerous. You can't do that." And so that was, you know, in the early 70s. And then I left just with a question, what can I do? I'm not a doctor. I'm not skilled in other areas that could possibly help directly. I'm an artist. So what is it that I can do? I think this question stayed with me for many years. And then in that dream where I saw myself using just the skills that I had used my whole life in this form, you know, it solidified everything that I had been exposed to, the talents that I had developed, and it brought it all together as a way to address individual and community and global problems. So, you know, that it was a process, definitely a process. And then when the dream came, I really, you know, I felt, well, yes, this is my way to work. It may not be someone else's way, but this is my way that I'm to work. I feel for the rest of my life, you know, it's an ongoing work.
Well, speaking of that, Vijali, what do you see as the future of World Wheel?
Well, the World Wheel changes, and it's really life. And since the world is changing, I am changing. So the character of it does change. And right now, I'm starting a World Wheel Center where I've chosen to live outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. And that is a way to bring all of these experiences in one place. This is very new. 40 acres has just come to me, and have put up a simple yurt, and in a week starting giving a retreat. So this is one aspect. I feel like this is the center of the wheel around the planet. But I also am continuing the work in other countries. Most probably India will be the next journey again in the foothills of the Himalayas. So I do feel a calling there. But, you know, it may be a year before that happens. And I think that the change, I'd say, the direction that it's going now is to really support, especially the indigenous culture in every country, because their roots are so deep and important for us right now, where that break has not come in the culture of the separation between humans and nature, animals and plants. There is still that tradition that the spirit is in everything. And so I'm very interested in supporting these ideas that are still alive in these indigenous cultures. And I feel like it is becoming a crucible for knowledge that's necessary on our planet right now, with the particular problems that are arising, the global warming, the the misunderstandings between cultures of not really seeing deeply into another culture and the great tension and war and death that is arising from not understanding another person's view. So this is a crucible for that understanding to grow and arise, in a cross-cultural way between these countries, between different religions. And the world wheel and art in itself is so, I think, important right now because it crosses religious barriers, it crosses cultural barriers, and it is an opportunity to heal that rift that we can see that's happening on the planet. So it's a wonderful opportunity for healing, as my title says, healing individuals, healing communities, healing countries.
Vijaylee, your work has been so powerful in that returning to the indigenous wisdom and remembering the beauty of the wisdom of these cultures. To me, when you're bringing art back into these communities and allowing them to express the lost stories, it's the stories that the earth, I feel like the earth needs to remember. And when you're making art, it's as if you're tapping into cultural memories that we're losing as the world is changing so rapidly. So the work that you're doing, bringing this back and honoring these ancient stories and ancient ways of being in the indigenous cultures is just, to me, so vital as we're seeking how to create, rebalance the world.
Well, yes, I do feel that we all can. We can all support these cultures that perhaps in another generation or two, a lot will be lost. So this is a very critical time on the planet. And these stories, yes, these stories are very important so that these ideas can live on and that we can find ways of incorporating these ideas of unity, of spirit in all life. This interconnectedness that science is pointing out with the quantum theories, but yet they're not being lived globally. Science is actually jumping ahead of our emotional level at many times, a cultural level, and this is an opportunity to connect these ancient stories, these ancient ideas with our modern physics and bring it up to date so
right.
that people now can live it and find a mythology today that works for all of us.
Right. Vijaylee, tell me a story. Tell the listeners a story about one of the communities you went to and what you did. It may be the beautiful, incredible story that you did in Ecuador or in Greece. Tell us one of the stories so people can sort of see in their mind the actual process of healing that you do with a community and creating art.
Well, in Ecuador, yes, I went to Quito, and I didn't. Usually, when I go to a country, I don't know what I'm going to do. If I have one telephone number, I'm lucky. So, and I don't actually know the area, but I went to Quito, and I did have someone told me to go to this one pension and meet one of the artists there. And so I did, and I was, you know, we just immediately connected. It was an Otavalanian man who was running the hostel. And he said, and I show people photos of the people from the other countries, the sculptures that have developed, these ceremonies. And so he was just so fascinated. He said, I want to take you to my birth village. And so he did. He introduced me to his sister. I stayed with his sister. And they, the in Otavalo, the people there are so artistic, are very ingenious, creative people. And so there was a great interest in what the project was. And there was a sacred stone in this little village just a few kilometers outside of Otavalo. The name of the village was Paguche. And so they had me talk to all the barrios, the leaders of that community, to get permission to carve this one stone that was a couple of stories high. And in the beginning, I just said, oh, I never touch, you know, a sacred area or a sacred stone. I wouldn't want to disturb that. But there was just a unanimous agreement for me to start with this work. And so they did their ceremonies with the stone, blowing alcohol on the stone, you know, having shamans come and purify the stone. And so I started, I would go there and just meditate and pray that I could really release the true spirit of that stone that meant so much to me. And so I did a little drawing of what came to my dreams and my meditations and showed it to people and said, oh, that's Pachacamac. That's our pre-Incan deity that we had here before the Incas came. And that's really the root of our culture. And so I started working, started carving the stone, and no one had carved before. A lot of the people in the village are wonderful artists, painters, weavers, a long, long tradition of weaving. And so I taught four men how to carve with my along with me with this image that I had in my mind. And, well, before that, we started, the stone they felt was buried. So we started digging out the earth from around it. And everyone joined, the women, children, the men. And they said, oh, this is the first time men and women have worked together, because they had their separate jobs that they would work, that traditionally that they would work. And so that was like, you know, a new experience for them. And as we were digging the stone out, a spring just gushed out of the stone. And that was just such a beautiful sign of acceptance. And we eventually made a basin to hold the water, and now marriages are done there, their own personal ceremonies, and it's an ongoing life place. And so we carved in it. When the carving was finished, it was close to Inti Raymi, an ancient sun ceremony that they performed every year. And so we had shamans come and kind of open the ceremony. People brought food, cooked food as offering to the stone that was given to the people afterwards. And usually their ceremonies are just in the village there. But this time people came from the Andes, all over the Andes, to this ceremony. And there was dancing, their traditional dancing and singing, and it was just such a joyous, wonderful celebration. And so that's one story. And then I interviewed the people afterwards, especially one, Matiko, the sister that I was staying with, and her daughter. And asked, well, how did this affect the village? And her daughter said, well, you know, I've always been proud being an Indigenous woman, but this really, I felt it really supported me, taking me back even deeper into my tradition. And also as being a woman, an Indigenous woman, this was very important to me because I felt supported and heard. So that's one story.
I love that story. That's one of my favorite because I just feel that, I don't know, it's almost like, I think I've seen the videos that you've had of it before, and it just feels like one of the most healing experiences that I've ever had. Just, I haven't been there, but I just feel like, you know, you brought me there somehow, because I feel like I've been there before with you. And it was just, to me, one of those most beautiful opportunities that not only did you do it there with them, but it's in my life, I feel like, you actually did it with me too, and it was just beautiful. So I just wanted to, I was hoping that you would share that, and it was just a great experience. And for some reason, I feel like I was there with you. So it was just, thank you so much for that.
Well, so any other questions, David or Mary, that you would like me to explore?
What I would like to ask you, Vijali, is one of the things that I do in, I talk about your work in the healing with the arts, and I ask people to, I refer to your work, and I tell them about the work that they can go into asking themselves, what is their essence? Is there any more you could, you know, as people begin their own steps and begin their own journey in art and healing, based on what you've seen all over the world, is there anything that you can share with people to help them create healing in their own communities, wherever they live? Because you've gone to these places all over the world. How can someone do your work maybe in their own community? And how would you advise them to do that?
Well, I can suggest that to start with these questions, it may change according to the person or the time, the community, particular community. It's, I think, important for people to make this their own. But they could start with those questions, asking people, and they could draw people together from that community in a project. It's really wonderful. This theater, ceremonial theater, is so wonderful because everyone can get involved, all ages, and you could come to a theme that you want to address and write poetry, have people write, have people create music, create songs from their response, create dance, And it's wonderful to have a location. You know, in a very simple way, whether you're an artist or not, you can create an environment. You could create just a circle of stone or one stone, something that signifies that this is a special place. And when we go here, you know, we can honor the sacredness of the earth, honor a special moment of silence. And in a very simple way, you can create a ceremony really from your heart, from the heart of the community, not, you know, if there is a strong one culture, yes, you can start with that. But if there isn't a strong culture to fall back on, create it just from your heart, the moment. You know, what's going on the planet, what's going on in your community, what's going on in your own personal life. And it's also wonderful to use, I always use a talking stick borrowed from our Native American cultures here, because it's easy to focus people into a silence of listening to someone talk from their heart, from their own sacred space, and then pass that around so each person can speak from that sacred place. And it'll be amazed what comes out of people. And I think that each person is even amazed when that moment comes to speak, that they have something to really offer to that circle. So in a very simple way, you can draw community together. It may be start with some problem that's in the community, some problem that's in the environment, to draw people together. But then you can take it to a sacred place by going deeper into that problem. You know, why is there that problem in the environment? You know, what are we neglecting in our own lives? What are we overlooking that could really address that problem in a sacred manner? So that's, I think anyone can do these simple acts and create a situation in the community. And if you are an artist or musician, or if you have a leaning to one of these artistic skills, it's easier, especially music is wonderful to really draw people together. And then when you can just bring all of the arts together, that is even more powerful.
Right. Because I think part of the work in healing with the arts is there is an opportunity for, you know, you've done this work all over the world, and you've recreated the sacred in the earth itself by creating art in stone and art on mountains and art on river edges and ocean edges. And I know that in all our community, they are these beautiful sacred places that can be remembered and create community around. Because one of the things you did in Gainesville was this wonderful, we had a park and we made this beautiful stone circle to remember, to create a medicine wheel. And that was a very healing event where everybody came and you made this incredible stone stone circle, and the community got involved. So I was able to see it happen right in my own community. And it's something that I want to invite all of us to think how we can bring community together to heal the earth and to heal, you know, create these wonderful events in which we all can participate. And you have been, a phenomenal shaman to be able to bring this work back to us. And can you share a little more about what some of your experiences have been in creating community in the United States, since a lot of the listeners are here? I know you travel, but how do you do it in the United States as well?
Well, my birthplace is Los Angeles, which is, I went there feeling that I've been to all of these places, and I wanted to contribute something there. Of course, I started the World Wheel there in Malibu outside of Los Angeles, but just a few years ago, I went back to L.A., and I read that there were 14,000 homeless kids on the street in Los Angeles, and it just touched me so much. It was it was around Christmas, and I went to thrift stores. I bought sleeping bags and mats and some warm sweaters, and I just went down to the beach in Venice, where a lot of the homeless kids hang out, and started giving, giving out something, because it was cold and it started raining, and gave some raincoats. And, we can just respond to something that's right under our nose very simply, in a simple way. And then I went to, I started going to the different shelters and places, food lines, places where they were feeding homeless people, and just to see what was going on, to see also what was lacking. And so I'd go there and I'd help with the cooking of the food and handing out the food. Just to be involved. And I realized that, yes, there were organizations that were helping some of these kids find work, but I felt like there was an aspect of these kids' lives that were not being addressed, and that was the spiritual. A lot of these young people had left home, had been abused sexually, or had violent parents, and really didn't have much of a home life, and they were looking for community. They were looking for something deeper than what they had found in their environment. And I felt many of them were very deeply spiritual people, but they didn't have like a focus, a way to bring that together. They were forming communities among themselves. So I started teaching art, and was so amazed at what was coming out. And then one of the organizations in Santa Monica offered me a room there in their building that I could bring clay and bring stone and my hammers and chisels. And so I started working there with the children. And then I invited some of my friends, from LA. There were artists or performers, and they would come and do a little performance with them, and so that's one thing in the States, I would say, that this developed in a very simple way of just seeing what was happening, around us.
I think that's a beautiful example of how we can just go right into our own communities and reach out to, homeless children or homeless people or people who are, on the edge. And how do we bring the arts as a way of safe expression and healing, and also allowing them to create community in positive ways. So that's exactly what, you know, I was searching for, because I know that you are able to do that everywhere you go. And I know that in every one of our communities, there is so many artists and so many musicians and so many dancers and incredible people who are there's a generosity in the spirit of their creativity, and we can share it with people in our community that have so much need. So I just feel what you are doing is a perfect example of what all of us can do at any time, and making a difference and making the world a better place, and taking care of our communities, taking care of ourselves.
Yes, yes. And I feel like that's what I've just finished making a feature film. I'm still getting just some of the little technical things together. And kind of in the end of it, what I'm really putting out is that it's all of us together, working together, you know, joining hands around the world and just observing what is going on around us. And in our simple means, you know, making change, that I really feel that change will come from the bottom, from grassroots organizations, or just from ordinary people's lives. And it's us joining together and becoming a force around the planet of all of us, just ordinary people. And I really have a feeling that in the midst of all the tragedies that are happening on the planet right now, that something very beautiful is also emerging from all of us. And that for us to be more aware of it and to consciously join our hands with other organizations, with other people that are working in other countries or right around us. And I feel very good about people around the planet. I was so amazed with not just, you know, powerful organizations or people who are terribly, you know, extremely skilled or had money to really do something, but the ordinary person that I ran into had such a good heart, was so generous, and so much love coming out of the ordinary person, and wisdom. I want to just tell you one thing. When I was in Israel and Palestine, I was invited to the House of Hope, where a Palestinian man had started a school for the Druze children, the Palestinian children, the Israeli children, the Christian children, and was doing something that I think was very brave and was very successful. These children getting to know their fellow companions from another culture. And this is where it's really, you know, things are really happening. And then when I asked my three questions to the children, they gave the most profound answers to my questions. And they felt that the solution was to look through the eyes of the people in another culture and actually see, look out through their eyes, through their culture, their background, and be able to love love the other people from another culture, but to really stand in that place of another culture and have those eyes and see differently. I just thought that was so profound, and the work of the House of Hope is just doing such beautiful work.
That is very, very beautiful. And one thing I do agree with you is I've traveled a lot, and I am totally in love with the people all over the world, because the world is this, for the, you know, everywhere I go, the ordinary person reaches out in a friendly way to really deeply connect. And I have, on my travels, been so, like, blessed by just the warmth and welcoming and love that people and human beings are naturally capable of. And then the idea of you going into a community and sharing your art and giving it as a gift to the community, I would think it just brings a lot of energy and hopefulness around everybody participating and making it happen with you.
Yes, I felt very powerful. It was a powerful experience, and it's continuing to be a powerful experience of just going into an area which I don't know. And I felt no matter how much you read, I know when I went to China, there's no way I could have studied from a book what the Chinese culture were, the Chinese people. By being there, I just got a whole other view. And, of course, in Tibet also, in every country, you really get a different understanding than anything you could be told or read about before you're actually physically there. And it was a wonderful and continued to be an incredible experience for me to experience and to look through the eyes of a person who is looking at the world in a totally different view than I am here in the United States.
It's so true. And, you know, just by you doing that, it's what I feel like when you, as a woman, in this day, made a commitment to do the world wheel for peace. It's like you're a world pilgrim, and you're traveling around the world. And I've sort of, as I've been connected to you ever since I went to Tinos and saw the beautiful work you did on Tinos, I realize in some way, even though I don't travel around the world the way you do as the pilgrim, you have shared your pilgrimage, and I can see through the eyes of your loving gaze to where the world is a family. And I just want to thank you for that, that you've always talked about that the world is your family. And I really believe that the world is your family and the world is my family. And you've been a great teacher of that connection.
Well, I certainly have learned a great deal, and it's opened my heart very, very wide through these experiences. And I feel that we, again, that joining everyone, joining hands around the world in this family, it can create a tremendous change, and is in that process through all of our lives, through your life. And I feel that's so important that we work together.
I really feel that we are working together, and I can feel that the people who are listening tonight, one of the things, the beginning of this telesummit was creating a community. And this past week for me has been like a pilgrimage to reconnect with people that I really deeply love, you being one of them. And I just feel almost as if we're realigning the stars and creating relationships in alignment with each other. And everyone who's listening to the call is part of this community. We are all together in this moment, and no one is alone, and we all are connected to each other's work. I really feel that we're working within each other and through each other. And there are people on the call that are part of my journey and your journey is part of their journey. And it's this incredible, I don't even know how to say it. It's not an alignment. It's more three-dimensional than that. It's just like a bringing of everything together in this kind of like a cosmic, I don't know how to explain it, but it's this wonderful bringing the energies to where this is what the world needs now, and we're doing it.
Yes, I feel very positive about
thank you so much,
your work.
Vijay, you know, I just have to say that we, and unfortunately we're out of time here in just a moment, but, you know, just thinking, Mary, we have met some remarkable people this week. But Vijay, I mean, I just have to say, it's truly extraordinary what you have done. Not only the vision and all of your skills and abilities, but your courage, your fearlessness of just going around the world. You know, this one woman campaign for global peace. I mean, it's just extraordinary. It's remarkable. It's unbelievable. And you're so humble. You know, sometimes the way you talk about it, it's like, oh yeah, well, I went to this country and I didn't know anybody and I got involved in this and this, and then I did this and then I did this and all of this happened. I mean, it's just a truly remarkable and inspiring story that you have. And thank you so much for everything that you contribute, and the beautiful vision that you have for global peace and peace for each person on the planet.
Well, thank you for inviting me into this wonderful circle.
Oh, blessings and joy, Vijay. Thank you so much. And I want to, we're going to do this work together, and I'm so glad we've come back together after all this time, and that we're on this telesummit with all the listeners and David and you and me and everybody that's here. We've created the sacred circle. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for being here and being part of this wonderful event this week. And good night, everybody. And don't forget to heal yourself with the arts. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.